Amen. If you notice this morning, before we ever get started, if you'll notice to my right will be your left. There's a white van that's not sitting there. And that's Miss Brother Johnny and Sister Mavis Egger. This morning, Miss Mavis didn't feel good. And Sister Sharon came and said, Mama's not feeling real good, and said she's not going to be able to come to church. And said, can y'all lift her up in prayer? I told her, I guarantee you we'll lift her up in prayer. Y'all know me, I just tell it like it is. I can't help it. And I made a statement to Sister Sharon, and I told her this. I said, I prayed. My prayer would be this, that everybody that's ever walked to the altar at this church and ever accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'd have a kind of faith that Miss Mavis Egger has. When she don't feel good, she still come to church. When she couldn't get up, she still come to church. When she had to drag herself in and out of that van, she still comes to church. And this morning, I want to say to you, she must not be feeling very well this morning. Or you know where she'd be this morning? She'd be at church. She knows the importance of that. And so you and I have an obligation, because she's our sister, to pray for her this morning. So we're going to pray this morning, and we're going to ask God to move in her life. Ask God just to touch her. I don't know what's wrong. I just know she don't feel good. You ever just not felt good? Just sometimes you just don't feel good. So we're going to ask God this morning to reach down on Miss Mavis and let her just start feeling good. I never forget one time with Miss Mavis, I got to share this. I come into the church and she was squalling. I'm talking about crying. I got over there where she was and I said, Miss Mavis, what's wrong with you? And she said, will you please preach my funeral? And I said, well, Miss Mavis, I'm busy this weekend, but hey, I'll just do the best. She said, you crazy thing, get on up through there. So this morning, I want you to know that we're going to ask God to let her start feeling better. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. So I'm going to ask you this morning to bow right where you're at. And we're going to lift up one name this morning. That's the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to ask God to do what he can do through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, touch Miss Mavis in her home over there on Tree Farm Road, and get her feeling better instantly. I claim that in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father God, we come this morning, Father, and we have a sister that's at home. Lord God, not only a sister, but we have a soldier that's at home. Lord, we have an elder that's at home. Lord God, we have one that's at home this morning, that Father God, that needs to be touched this morning by the Holy Ghost, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We need you to reach down and touch her life. Lord, she don't feel good this morning. And Lord God, this morning I would ask you to do a work in her life. Lord God, I pray when her kids go home, they say, what hour was it that you start feeling better? She can say it was at the hour of about 9:30. It was about that time that I felt the sickness start leaving. I felt the not feel good get up and had to get out of there. Lord God, this morning we're not praying to a God that cannot hear. We're praying to a God that knows our feelings, knows our failures, but also knows our faith is put in him. Lord, this morning I would ask you that you would touch Miss Mavis in a mighty way. Lord, I thank you, I praise you, and I lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm asking you this morning to bless this service in a mighty way. Lord God, I ask you to bless whoever else is sick that I don't know about. Raise them up from that place that they're at this morning. Lord God, let them start feeling better. Lord, I want to thank you that you blessed us this morning with this beautiful day. Lord, it's not hot out here. The sun shines not in our eyes, but the S-O-N is. I thank you that you're shining down on us in a mighty way. Lord, bless this service. Save somebody. Take an old Christian that's about ready to give up and get out and put them back right where they need to be. Put them back in the firing line. Lord God, if it'd please you this morning, I guarantee it'd please us. Father, I love you, and Father, I thank you. I ask it all in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. Hebrews, this morning will be in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 2. We're going to read the first 4 verses. I want to speak to you a moment this morning about not neglecting such great a salvation that you have. Not neglecting such a great a salvation that you have. You know, every one of you that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you had the greatest thing in your life will not be your spouse. It will not be your children. It will not be the material things that you have. But the greatest thing that you'll have in your life is salvation this morning. This morning, if you are not pleased with your salvation, you will not be pleased with your Savior. This morning, if you're not pleased with your salvation, you will not be pleased with nothing else. Once the joy of that salvation comes alive in your life, you will have joy and you'll have it even more. We sung this morning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word, not neglecting such great a salvation. Not neglecting such a great a salvation. I looked this morning and I just got to go ahead and applaud you for coming to the house of God this morning. What a congregation out through there. Boy, that just tickles my heart. Does you good, amen? Does you good when he calls a family reunion? By the way, he calls it every Sunday morning. He calls a family reunion every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. And to see your family come to that reunion, what a day that is. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1, the King James Bible says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. Father, we thank you. Father, we glorify your name. Bless this reading this morning. Bless the words that I will speak. Father God, this morning, if you don't anoint it, it won't do a bit of good. Lord God, if you don't rain down from heaven, it'll just be a normal old day. But Lord God, we've not come for the normal. We've come from something that's not normal, and that's you. Father God, we look and men can't understand why we would put our faith in something that we can't see. But Father God, faith says this, without faith it's impossible to please God. And Lord God, this morning by faith we lift up the name of Jesus, knowing that He is the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord God, this morning I'd pray that you would do a work in our life. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. Forgive me of my sin, my shortcomings, and where I fail thee. In Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hebrews chapter number 2. Are you neglecting such a great a salvation? Are you neglecting such a great a salvation? As we come here, we see the writer of Hebrews. He is making sure that we neglect not such a great a salvation, but that we embrace it in a mighty way. This morning you say, preacher, why must we not neglect salvation? Why must we not neglect something so great? And you say, what makes it so great this morning? What makes salvation so great this morning? Have you ever thought about that? As the writer penned down in verse number 3, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And you ask yourself, what makes my salvation so great? Number one, this morning I would tell you that the Bible tells us that our salvation is great because of its preparation this morning. It had been prepared for you and I, salvation had. Hey, did you know this morning that you didn't prepare to be saved? You didn't get ready to be saved. You didn't prepare the sacrifice that it would take to be saved this morning. God prepared salvation. Can I get amen this morning? And I want you to know, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 18, I want to show you in the Word of God that it is great because of its preparation this morning. It's great because its preparation, because God planned it in eternity past. Friends, I want you to know, God already knew who would be our propitiation for our sin. He already knew who would escape such great a death. But He says in 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20, He said God planned it in eternity past. I don't know about you this morning, but I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel God done reached down in this place this morning. And when Satan can get you where you don't love your salvation and you don't love what God has done in your life, and you look at the lost man and you say, he's got it better than I got it. Friends, we done lost what we thought. We done lost that grip of how great that salvation is. Hey, don't you ever think that the lost man has got it better than the saved man. He'll never have it better until that lost man comes and he knows the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows that preparation that has been made in his life. He says in, whoa, glory, in 1 Peter 1 and 18, the Bible says it's great because of its preparation that God had planted. And he said, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Friends, this morning I wasn't born again with things of this world. I was born again by somebody. Hey, it lives out of this world. Can I get an amen? Hey, ain't no sin can touch him. Ain't no corruption can touch him. He says in verse number 18, for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. Hey, silver couldn't buy me back. Hey, look here, he said, and gold couldn't buy me back. Hey, the conversation I want you to know this morning has been recorded in heaven. When God spoke to my heart and showed me I was a sinner and I needed to have a Savior, look what he says. He said you wouldn't bought back with silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Friends, this morning I want you to know it won't do a bit of good how much money you got. It won't prepare you for heaven. Can I get an amen? Hey, you can be a millionaire today and die without God and be a pauper tomorrow. But I want you to know you can be broke as you can today and die with God and you'll be a millionaire over there. Can I get an amen? It's great because of its preparation. He look what he says in 19. You wouldn't bought with this stuff, but you was bought with the precious blood of Christ Jesus. You were bought with that blood. Friends, this morning I want you to know, baptism won't save you. Works won't save you. You say, how have I been bought, preacher? You've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness in the house of God this morning? Man, if there's ever been a time you ought to shout and say, and doubts around, it should be when somebody tells you that you wouldn't bought with silver and gold. Hey, this preacher ain't bought with money. I'm bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? He said, I've been bought by the blood. Friends, this morning, if you ever get over the bloodline, you're in trouble this morning. Don't ever get over the bloodline. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He said that lamb didn't have a blemish and he didn't have a spot. He said it's great because of its preparation, because it's an eternity past. Look in verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in the last times for you. Friends, I want you to know Jesus Christ. I've heard it preached and don't you believe it. They didn't have to look over heaven to try to find Jesus. They didn't have to get him out of the corner and beg him to come and die for you. Friends, I want you to know our Savior, our soldier, our King, our Lord of Lords, he stood at attention. And when he said go, it was 1 minute he was in glory. It was 1 minute he was wrapped up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the next minute he was in a virgin womb. Friends, I want you to know this morning, it is great because its preparation, it was planned in eternity past. But look at this. Not only is it planned in eternity past, but it was purchased at the cross of Calvary. slavery. Not only had he done had the plan in eternity past, but it was purchased at the cross of Calvary. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 15:3. He said, don't neglect such great a salvation. It was planned in eternity past, and it was purchased at the cross of Calvary. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been to the cross of Calvary? Have you ever been where the bloodline is? Have you ever went and seen that cross where Jesus Christ? He said, preacher, I can't go there. By faith, we must go there. By faith, we must go to Calvary. By faith, we must do what God's called us to do. It's great because of its preparation this morning. God planned it in eternity past. And Jesus purchased it at Calvary. Friends, this morning, 1 Corinthians 15:3, he said, Paul said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. This morning, I can't preach salvation to you. I can't tell you to take care of your salvation if I hadn't received it of myself. Can I get a witness? He says this, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Woo! According to the scripture. In verse number 4, and that he was buried and that he arose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's our hope this afternoon. That's our hope in what we have this morning. I want you to know this morning, Jesus Christ, he did not let us down on the cross. If he did anything on that cross, he built us up. He made us a way. When there was no way, he made a way. Hey, when it was empty, he filled it up. Hey, when it couldn't be, he made it be. Hey, when you was lost, he made you say. This morning I want you to know that Jesus Christ, he is the greatest that ever has been. He's the greatest that ever will be because he was that precious lamb. Can I get an amen? Woo, glory. He said, are you don't neglect that salvation because of his preparation. God planned it. Jesus purchased it. But the Holy Spirit presented it to you. Woo, glory, man. Somebody ought to get excited this morning. Hey, God planned it. Jesus purchased it. But the Holy Spirit, he presented it. You couldn't be saved this morning if the Holy Spirit didn't present it to you. You couldn't be saved if he hadn't presented it. You just don't want God. The most righteous person you know, they just didn't want God at one time in their life. They just didn't wake up and think, you know what, today I think I'll just be saved. No, that ain't how it works, my friend. We all got to go by the same way, and that's by the cross. We all have to go because the Holy Ghost convicts us and draws us. We all have to go by that way. In John chapter number 16, if you'll turn there and you'll look there in verse number 7 and verse number 8, let's look there. He said, not only did God plan it, not only did Jesus purchase it, but the Holy Spirit of heaven, hey, it provided it to you. It presented it to you that you would have a way and that you would have hope. John 16, verse number 7 and 8. Look what the Bible says. And Jesus telling his disciples, they said, no, you don't need to go away. You're the best thing we ever had. Hey, you're the best thing we've ever seen. But he says in John 16, verse number 7, he says, I know you don't want me to go, but nevertheless. Jesus said, nevertheless, it's important that I go away. Look what he says. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient. I must do it quickly for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Friends, this morning I want you to know the Holy Ghost is not an it. It's a person this morning. It's alive and it's well. And it lives in a believer. This morning I want you to know he provided that for you. He said, I'm going to send you a Comforter. I'm going to send you something that will comfort you in your life. Ain't you glad you don't serve a Savior that you can't feel? Man, I can feel Him. You know how I can feel Him? By the Holy Ghost. He said, and when He has come, look in verse number 8 of John 16, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, but look at 9, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this earth world is judged. I have yet many things to say on you, but you cannot hear them now. He says in the Word of God, God, this is the greatest salvation this morning because it's great because of its preparation. My friends, I want you to know this morning as your pastor, I wouldn't tell you that it's great only because of its preparation that God planned it and Jesus purchased it in the Holy Spirit. He presents it to men, women, boy and girl. Hey, but it's also great because of its price. Friends, this morning there's been a price that's been paid. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter 2:24, I want you to know not only is great because of its preparation, but because of the price that has been paid. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. Jesus Christ, He gave His body to bear our sins. The greatest price that's ever been paid. And look what He said in 1 Peter 2:24. For who His own self bare our sins in His own body. He said in the Bible, He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin. Hey, we've been dead to sin. Sin's what kills us, should live under righteousness by whose stripes we were healed. This morning, if you've been born again, you've been healed by the stripes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, this morning I believe why we walk around with sickness is we don't claim the healing of Jesus Christ. He said, by my stripes you've been healed. Not by this preacher's stripes, not by Paul's stripes, but by the stripes that Jesus Christ bore on His body for you and I this morning. Amen. He said it's great because of His price. His body He bare our sins, but His blood He blotted out our sins. By His blood He blotted out our sins. And in Revelation 1:5 He said that He washed us through. He washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. He said it's the greatest price because not only because He bare our sins on His body, but that He washed us in the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning I would just be curious to know how you felt that day that you was washed new in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'd be curious to know what it made you feel like that day that you was washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I went down and when I come up, there was no change. Friends, I want you to know anything I throw in the washing machine and it washes through that cycle and I bring it out on the other side, it's clean. Hey, it'll get the stains out. It'll remove the old things. It'll make all things new. Hey, you can throw in a stained shirt and bring out a new shirt. Can I get an amen? Hey, this morning I'd be curious to know when you were stowed in that blood of Jesus Christ and He washed you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, what'd you feel like when you come out on the other side? What'd you feel like when you come out on the other side? He said it's great because of its preparation, but also it's great because of its price. Because of its price. Do you know why our salvation is so great? One, because of its preparation. God prepared it. Amen. And you got to go by the way of the cross because that's the price that's been paid. You see, God will only honor the blood of Jesus. He'll honor nothing else but the blood of Jesus Christ. So why is that, preacher? Because that was His Son that hung on Calvary's cross. He hung there for all mankind. He hung there because of the love that He had in His heart for you and I this morning. Let me share something else with you. Not only the price because of His body, not only the price because of His blood that He blotted out our sins, but He gave His being to banish my sins. John 1:29, John said in the next day, he seen Jesus coming unto him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Let me give you this, and I want to break it down in Detroit term where everybody understand this. When He hung on Calvary's cross, at that moment, every sin that ever had been committed, every sin that would be committed, every sin that would be thought about, every sin that would be committed in your life, He hung it on the cross of Calvary. You said, well, preacher, if He hung it on the cross of Calvary, why don't we just have redemption just automatically? Because, my friend, I want you to know, He says not only because of the preparation, not only because of the price, but because there was prospects that He hung on the cross of Calvary. He said, don't neglect that great salvation. You must look to the cross. He said in Romans 2:4, know ye not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He leads every man, woman, boy, and girl. I want you to know the Holy Ghost, it does not skip a heart. I believe that. That's a doctrine I believe in the Word of God. I don't believe for one skinny minute some of you were born to go to heaven and some of you were born to go to hell. I don't believe that one minute. Friends, I want you to know I believe that for whosoever will, let them come. Amen. Hey, the problem is they just want won't come. Friends, this morning the problem was me. For 27 years, I just wouldn't come. I thought I was a He-Man. I thought that I was a Superman. I thought I could do it my way. But friends, I want you to know, until you accept the payment of Jesus Christ, you will live and defeat the rest of your life. So he said he's great because of his preparation, great because of its price, but also it's great because of its prospect. The ones that come to know Christ. The prospects. You say, preacher, who does he pick to be saved? He don't pick nobody. He don't pick nobody. He don't pick and choose. He convicts every man, woman, boy, or girl. And they have the opportunity, they have the will to either accept him as their personal Lord and Savior or reject him. Nobody's been chosen to be saved. That's the sovereignty of God. That's the sovereignty of God. Nobody's just been chosen to be saved. What he's done is he's given you an opportunity to be saved. You can accept that or you can reject that. All the way through the Word of God, we see where people reject it at a more convenient time. When time's convenient, I'll get saved. The devil will never give you a convenient time. He'll always give you an excuse and always give you something in your life. But I want to show you in the Word of God right here and right now three prospects that did come to know Jesus Christ. One of them be the rich like Zacchaeus in Luke 19:10. You know what Zacchaeus did? He made haste and he went to Jesus. He made haste and he went to Jesus and he started looking. He heard that he was coming through. You know what Zacchaeus did? He went up the sycamore tree. And as he climbed to the top of that tree when Jesus come by, Nicodemus didn't go down. You know what Jesus did? Jesus called him down. Friends, this morning I want you to know none of us go down on our own. God calls us down. When he calls us, he says, that Holy Spirit gives us an invitation to be saved. And at that moment, we can accept that invitation. He said, the rich like Zacchaeus in Luke 19:10, Zacchaeus made haste and came down when Jesus called him down. But not only the rich like Zacchaeus, but the ruined people. You ever thought about how he'll save the rich, but he'll also save the ruined? The ones that are ruined and nobody wants nothing to do with. The ones that's done went a little bit too far. He just went a little bit too far. Hey, just ain't no hope for that old boy. You know what? I guarantee you there's people in your life say there's no hope for them individuals neither. But I thank God that them ones, y'all know who they are. I've never figured out who they are, have y'all? They don't never show their face, do they? They always talk behind closed doors and they always have your best interest in hand and they always know the right way and they always can tell you what you need to do because they know what's right. But I want you to know this morning, there's one that knows what's right in your life, and it's not your preacher, it's the Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He knows what needs to be done. Look what he said, great because of the prospect. Not only will he save the rich like Zacchaeus, but he'll save the ruined like the Samaritan woman. John 4. He'll save the ruined like the Samaritan woman. You know what she did? Jesus said, I have needs to go through Samaria. John 4, Jesus said, I have needs to go through Samaria. You know, if Jesus Christ has needs, we have needs. And I can't believe this morning I'd stand behind this sacred desk and not believe that Jesus Christ has a need this morning to come through this place through the Holy Ghost this morning. I can't believe that we'd sit here on a beautiful day like this and somebody not have a need that Jesus can meet in their life. He said he went to her and she was there at midday, at the hottest part of the day, because she didn't want to go down there with all the other women because they looked down on her. She'd be a harlot in the town that she lived in. She'd be women would call her the prostitute in the land that she lived in. And Jesus come to her and said, go call thy husband. She says, I have no husband. He said, you're right. You've answered right. You have five. And the one you're with now is not yours. And you said at that time, church people would have gave up with her. Yeah, but church people don't save people. Christ saves people. You know what he did? He convicted that woman, then he converted that woman. This morning, if he's convicting you of something in your life, if you allow him to convert you, there can be a change made in your life this morning. Folks, I want you to know this morning, there's no way that an individual can come under the Holy Ghost, get convicted, get converted, and keep doing what they used to do. It cannot happen and it will not happen, according to the Scripture. Say, preacher, I don't like it. The Bible says this morning, who the Son sets free is free indeed. He says not only the rich like Zacchaeus, and not only the ruined people like the Samaritan woman. And by the way, I was a ruined person one time. Can I get a witness? Boy, thank you for the hands. Thank you for the witnesses all over this place. all over this place. Folks, I want you to know as your pastor this morning, the preparation that was made and the price that was given for the prospects like you and I. The prospects. You know the world may give up on you, but there's one place you ought to go and find peace and rest, and that's the church. That's the church. You ought to find rest at the church. You ought not find despair at the church and defeat and all them things. You ought to find hope and peace and rest and comfort at the church. And you know why this is the prospect? Not only does he save the rich like Zacchaeus and the ruin like the Samaritan woman. I told you should find peace at the church, and that's why he saves the religious like Nicodemus. That's why he saves the rich like Nicodemus. He said there's some of them out there that are poor that needs to be saved, poor. There's some rich that needs to be saved. There's some that's got it all together and they still need to be saved. And there's some that's ruined that needs to be saved. But there's some that's so religious that they need to be saved. They know the Bible. They know the prayer they need to pray. They can repetition that prayer better than anybody you've ever seen. They do everything that needs to be done. But Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you in John 3 that you must be born again. Nicodemus was a ruler, and he came to Jesus by night. We're talking about the prospect. He came to Jesus and he said, good master. He was talking to him. And Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit, Spirit. And that which is born of the water is water. He said, marvel not. And then you know what he told Nicodemus in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know that Zacchaeus got saved because he said he made haste, went down and went with Jesus. I know that the Samaritan woman got saved because she left. She left a water pot. She went and told everything that Jesus had done. She'd been born again. And I know that Nicodemus has been born again. How do you know, preacher? Him and Joseph of Arimathea went and begged for the body of Jesus. The Bible says that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they went and begged for the body of Jesus and they anointed that body. Folks, this morning I want you to know on the sound of my voice, the preparation he's made for you, the preparation he's made for I is great. We should never forget how he prepared it. The price that was paid on Calvary is great. We should never forget that. But also every prospect that the Holy Ghost convicts that needs to be saved is great. No matter if they look like you or not, they're great. No matter if they smell like you or not, they're great. No matter if their skin color is the same as ours or not, they're great. And when we get a hold of that this morning, it'll do something in our life. It'll make our salvation so great, man, we'll be just hopping everywhere telling everybody how great salvation we have. But I want to share one last thing with you. Not only is it great because of its preparation, not only is it great because of its price, not only is it great because of its prospect, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? But it's great because of its provision. Great because of its provision. He said, preacher, that's a word I may not know. What is provision? Provision's a way. He's made a way. He's made your provision. He's opened a way. I told the guys Friday at Broken Life, I said, I want you to know, when God is going to do something in your life great, you'll always know. You'll always know when he's wanting to do something in your life because you're his prospect. When he has saved you, he has made you new. He's not going to hide it from you. He's going to give you a provision and a way to do what he's called you to do. And let me share this with you, the great because of its provision, the quality of our life. When you become born again, there's a quality with that salvation of life, and it's called eternal life. John 1:1, turn with me there. It's called eternal life. John 1:1, look what the Bible says. We're talking about the provision that salvation makes. It's eternal. Why is it eternal? Because God is eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1, great because of its provision, the quality of our life is eternal. But also see the quantity of our life. The quantity of our life. John chapter number 3 and verse number 6. The quantity of our life is everlasting. Folks, I want you to know a lost man has everlasting life. A saved man has everlasting life. You will die here one time, and you have a place you'll spend eternity. Trust me, you don't want to spend eternity in a devil's hell. There's no provision there. There's no price been paid for that place. There's no preparation been made for that place. And there's not a prospect one for that place. He did not make anybody to go there. That's for the devil and his angels. This morning, not only the quality of our life, but the quantity of our life. He says in John chapter number 3 and verse number 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You will spend eternity somewhere. Not only is it great because of its provision, the quality of life, the quantity of life, but I want you to get this, the quota that's in your life. It's abundant. To know Christ Jesus, to have salvation this morning, you can have it more abundantly. Turn with me to John 10:10. I want to stop right here while you're turning. John 10:10. I have preached and I have said, don't you believe that health and wealth gospel? And I stand here on the authority of God's Word, and I've been wrong preaching it that way. I've said, don't you believe nothing about health and wealth gospel, that it's all prosperity and it's all this. I've misspoken that, and I'll just go ahead and lay it out there. God showed me this week that the gospel is health and the gospel is wealth. You may not get the health you need here, you may not get the wealth you need here, but if you've been born again, you're healthier than you've ever been. If you've been born again, you're wealthier than you've ever been. So this morning, the way we say things affects a lot of things. When I preach the gospel, it is health and it is wealth. This morning he says in John 10:10, I told my wife that this week, and we was talking. I told her, I said, ever since I've been saved, I've been more healthier than I ever have. Yeah, but you got the COVID, preacher. But my spiritual life's healthy. This physical life's going to die. You can recover from a heart attack, COVID. It don't matter what you recover. You're going to die one day. You can go to the hospital and God can heal that broken heart and put a stent in. And you say, well, boy, God's been good to me one more time. Just because He keeps you physically alive, listen to me, that don't mean He's good to you. There's going to come a day that body's going to be laid down and He's still going to be good to you. He's giving you life not here, life over there. We're just passing through here. Folks, this morning I've got a hold of that. Ever since I've come to know Jesus Christ, my salvation has made me healthy spiritually. And my salvation has made me wealthy spiritually. If you ride up County Road 16 and you look to the right up there and you see that sign that says Mills Hill, that ain't a lot to a lot of people. And I know it ain't, but it's a little bit to us. Can I get a witness, baby? But if you could wait for just one moment, Holy Ghost here, if you could wait one moment and not go down County Road 16, but go down to Heaven's Highway, and you could pass Heaven's Highway and you could look at that mansion, and He's prepared for me. And He's prepared for every prospect that's accepted him. You'd say, I'm telling you what, that's one of the wealthiest men I've ever seen in my life. Folks, this morning, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you're the most healthiest person that I've ever seen. And if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, when I look over yonder in heaven and I see that mansion He has prepared for you, and by the way, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back. Hey, when I drive that last nail, Brother Eric, in your mansion, I'm going to have to come on back and get you. Can I get a witness? He said, the house is finished. Why should you stay here? If I was building a mansion over there and the carpenter had done built it, had done fixed it, and done landscaped all around it, he said, it's ready. It's done paid for. All you got to do is move out of that trailer and move into this mansion. Who in their right mind would want to go to a place where a mansion has been prepared? Who in their right mind wouldn't want to go there to that place? I can't understand why a lost man wants to always be lost. I can't understand it. He said, preacher, you act like an idiot. Thank God. At least I got one name right. Amen. Boy, He's been good to me, and the Holy Ghost electrifies me. When I know and I talk about what He's done, He said it's great because it's provision, but it's great because it's abundance. Look in verse 10:10, John 10:10. He said, the thief, and boy, I was with him a long time. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. For to steal. Boy, he stole a lot from me. And to kill. Boy, he wants me dead. And to destroy. Satan wants me destroyed. By the way, believer, if you're in here this morning, you're born again, Satan wants you dead. He wants you destroyed. He wants your witness out of this place. He wants your effective witness out of this place. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. He said, but I, Jesus writing himself, he said, but I am come that they, put your name right there. I am come that BJ, say your name right now. Well, the ghost is right there on that one. You see what the devil's wanting to do? He's wanting to destroy you. He said, but your salvation is so great, you can put your name in here. He said, I am come that BJ might have life, and that he might have that life, not with doom and gloom and persecution and all them things. All those that live godly shall serve for persecution. I know that. But Jesus said, wait a minute. I am come that they may have it more abundantly. He said, I want to give you something more abundantly than you can ever imagine. But you know what we do? We measure abundance by what we can see. And Jesus Christ said, you must measure that abundance through faith. Through faith. We sung a song the other day when Brother Harold and Sister Sharon, and Brother Travis and Brother David raised that flag back. He said he was thankful. The songwriter said he was thankful for arms that would raise, feet that would walk, a tongue that would talk. If you ain't had the COVID, you don't know about taste yet. And smell. You take for granted how you can taste and see it's good. You take for granted how you smell your perfume or your wife when she's getting ready, or your daughter when they're getting ready, and you know you got to get up and start getting ready, because when they spray that on it, they're about done. Hey, that's the truth. Hey, when you start smelling, hey, I got to get an overdrive right here. When I smell her perfume, I know she is ready to go, and I must get ready. And until you've had that and it's took that away, you won't be thankful for that. But he says, I've come that they may have life, and that they may have that life more abundantly. As your pastor today, I want every one of you to live in the abundant life. I want you to live in that abundant life because God Almighty has prepared that life for you. He has paid that price for you. You are the prospect that accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And now He's come and give you provision that you may have it more abundantly. In closing, I want to tell you about a little story that I heard, and it makes really good sense. Dr. Tony Evans out of Texas told a story about how we like Christmas gifts. You know, the one that wraps the gift likes to wrap the gift, but the one that gets the gift wants it already unwrapped. Can I get a witness? I like it when they say, close your eyes and let my lap open my eyes, and there it is. That's how I like it, don't you? I don't like tearing through all that. And if you got a prankster, they'll tape it 35 times. And then if you got not only a prankster, but somebody wants to keep the wrapping and the bow, oh gosh. Don't tear the bow when you use it next year. Be easy with a gift. We can re-gift it. Sitting there acting like I don't, y'all sitting there like y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Y'all know y'all got that gift and re-gift that thing, gave it to somebody else. And guess what? That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to re-gift that gift that you got in your life and give it to somebody else. Because when you give it away, you ain't lost nothing. Because it was a gift. You just gave that gift to somebody else. You kept your gift. You just give that gift over to somebody else. Well, Tony Evans was talking this week, and I was listening to him talk. And he said, you know that gift that's wrapped up? That gift is wrapped, and it's wrapped up, and it's wrapped all nice and neat, and you get that gift. And what that person's trying to do with that wrapping paper is trying to conceal what's really on the inside. That wrapping paper is trying to conceal what's really on the inside. And he said this. He said, I would wonder how many people has got their life wrapped up in so much stuff, and they're concealing what's really on the inside. He said they got it wrapped up with the nicest vehicles that money can buy. He's got it wrapped up with the nicest houses money can buy. He's got it wrapped up with the nicest clothes that money can buy. He's got it wrapped up. He's kept on. He lifted a list of things that their life is wrapped up in. And he said, I wonder what they're really concealing on the inside. Folks, this morning, your salvation is great if you've been born again. We must not wrap it up with a lot of things and conceal it on the inside. We must allow God to take that wrapper off of our life and that salvation and not neglect it, not one skinny minute, but share it with the next individual that you come in contact with. I promise you this on the authority of God's word. He said, some plant, some waters, but God gives the increase. I promise you this. If you'll plant, you'll see God give the increase. If you don't plant, you will not see increase. That's the book. What a man soweth, he shall also reap. What a man soweth, he shall also reap. When salvation dries up, you know what it is? Because somebody's not planting, somebody's not watering. He said, if one man will plant, one man will water, he said, I'll give that increase. Folks, this morning as a church, there's one thing we need to do. We must not neglect the great salvation that God has given us. This morning, if you're in this place and you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, I would thank Him for that salvation this morning. I would thank Him this morning for that provision that He's made in your life. How He's protected you, molded you, and made you what you need to be. This morning, I would ask you a question. What are you wrapping up in this life to try to conceal what God's got for you in the next life? When you hide it, you're not only hiding it from yourself, but you're hiding it from a whole world to see. He said you are a city that's set on a hill, a candle that cannot be hid. We sang a little song about not hiding it under the bushel. This morning, if you're neglecting your salvation, you're hiding it under a bushel. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, I thank you, Father God, for salvation. Father God, there's nothing more, nothing greater that we can thank you for than salvation. For that free gift that we didn't have to buy, we didn't have to purchase, we didn't have to hang on the cross for. Father, we didn't have to do nothing for that gift. Well, God, we didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to do nothing. All we had to do was receive it. And Lord God, this morning, I would just wonder who this morning that's got that salvation that's the same as mine. And just sometimes they neglect it and they just don't take care of it and watch after it and keep it polished up and keep it right where it needs to be. And instead of putting it on the top shelf, Father God, they keep it right there where it needs to be. Lord, I'd wonder who this morning. He says, I just need a touch from heaven this morning, preacher. Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I just ain't been, it's just not as great as it used to be. Salvation's still the same. The greatness is just how we look at it. You can be saved and not see it great. Lord God, this morning it's great because of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'd pray this morning, whoever that may be, I don't have a clue and I'm glad I don't. Won't you string that heart this morning with the Holy Ghost? Won't you string that heart this morning, bring them to an old-timey altar? Let them do business with you this morning. And Lord God, this church be on fire for you. When we walk out, we just be saying how good it is to be in the house of the Lord. Father, I love you. And Father, I thank you. Thank you for that great salvation. I ask it in Jesus Christ's most holy, precious name. All of God's people did say. Amen. I ask you to stand and Miss Denise and the ladies lead us in a song this morning. Maybe you're there this morning. You say, preacher, my salvation, I just ain't looked how great it's been in a long time. I just want to get that joy right back where it needs to be. This morning, God's in a moving business. Did you know this morning He's not in the hindering business? He's in the helping business. And He'll help you this morning as we sing. Come to Jesus for that cleansing power. Have you been to Him? Cleansing power. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour?